Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You can live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Good day, Rushers. Welcome to the IDP podcast with me, Nate Davis, and him, Mr. Brendan Veal. Monday, I'm just recovering. I'm absolutely knackered. Been up all night watching a great week one of football. Before we get into it, must mention our sponsors, Manscaped. Manscaped are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they offer precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They've just released the Lawn Mower 4.0, which is a great bit of kit. It's got skin-safe technology, so there's no nicks on your bits. I've got one. It's absolutely fantastic, and I'm happy to say that you can get 20% off with the code 5YARD. It also comes with free shipping, so get one. You honestly won't be disappointed. So back to it, and it's over to Bren to tell us how it's been and what we are covering off today.
Hey, how are we doing? So yeah, as Nate said, a bit weary, but that's probably more a reflection of our age. We used to be able to stay up all night, but we can't do it anymore. This week, we're going to be covering off IDP week two preview, who to be watching, who we like, etc. We're also going to cover off the top five IDP waivers to be looking at. And also, we're going to have a quick review of the IDP Plus leagues, see how everyone's getting on with that. I suppose we better drill down straight into it. Where would you like to start with the week two previews?
I'll tell you what I'm going to just quickly do, I'll go straight into top five waiver wire IDP pickups. If we do those first, yeah. Just because when we get into the games, I think then we're going to go one to the other on the games, and then I know what'll happen. We'll forget to bloody do the IDP waiver wire pickups. So I've got my top five, and I'm just going to go straight through them. Nick Bolton, linebacker, Kansas City Chiefs. I highlighted him in the last pod, so hopefully you listen to that. He played a ton of snap last night, and he was pretty tackle heavy, and he looks a bloody good player. I think Nick's going to rack up some figures going forward, and so get him in. Zach Bourne, linebacker, New Orleans Saints, is another one that I highlighted him as well in the when we done the South, and he also plays a decent amount of snaps and looks a decent linebacker. It's his second season. He's definitely worth a pickup if he's on the waiver wire. Kenny Young, linebacker, LA Rams. He fantastic last night. He's another one you should look out for. We'll go into it. We'll talk about him in a bit later on. Carlton Davis, probably somebody that everybody does know. DB, Tampa Bay. He had a great game. He was everywhere. Anything that came in his vicinity, he seemed to get a hand on it against the Cowboys. If he's on the waiver wire, I would pick him up. I'll go into especially why later on. Okay, I'll just tell you now. Because they're playing the Falcons and they were dog shit. But anyway, go back to that. And also Delshawn Phillips, linebacker, New York Jets. You know I'm mad on CJ Mosley. Well, I'm turning the corner quite quickly because he didn't look anything like the player he used to be. And Delshawn Phillips seemed to be the lead linebacker, who certainly played a decent amount of snaps and you might say took the mic role. All those players saw decent. All those five players, Nick Bolton, Zach Bourne, Kenny Young, Carlton Davis, Delshawn Phillips, all saw decent time in the field and contributed well from a fantasy perspective in week one. And I would expect majority of those, if not all of them, to be on your waiver wire. So pick them up. So there we go. There's those top five picks. So we're going to go straight in now into the review for week two. Thursday night football. This pod is going out, as I said earlier, on a Friday. So we're not going to do too much on the Thursday night football because when you listen to this, you'll already know the result, I expect. We have the Giants at the Washington football team. That is what it is. I'm going Washington to win it, even with Fitz out. What are you saying, Brent? I'm not going to go into too much.
No, because and there's a very good reason we're not going to cover all the Thursday night games. Nathan and I have agreed. We'll make a prediction. And then first thing you'll hear on Friday podcast is what we got wrong. So...
So what's your pick there?
Yeah. No, same as mate. I'm going Washington. Yeah, I thought defensively too good. And yeah, Daniel Jones is just being Daniel Jones again based on the game yesterday. So definitely Washington. But as we said, we're not going to get too bogged down in that. So So moving on to this, where do you want to start? That's early Sunday games. So
we'll go Patriots at the Jet. They both lost yesterday.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
Top of the division, stop the season there.
Yeah, I expect, I mean, personally, my view on this one is that the Patriots going to be the team bound from that result yesterday. That was, it was a good game, actually. I thought it was a really good game and a tight game. And Patriots didn't play badly.
No, and we said it was going to be, you know, tight last week, didn't we? So for it to come down to one point and a key play by Howard just to turn it over and sort of ice the game was, it could have gone either way, to be honest.
Yeah. I mentioned the Jets linebacker to pick up. There's some other players as well, Jets wise, that you should be looking at yesterday. John Franklin Myers, he's a sneaky ad this week from the Jets side. I think that, like I said, Delshawn Phillips is also the guy to add from the Jets side. From the Patriots side, Kyle Duggar racked up some points. He had some decent score. He had a decent score.
So did Van Noy, frustratingly.
He did have. Yeah. We said he would do. He was a good one to pick up.
Yeah.
Carl Van Noy. I think
a sack and a couple of passes defended. So yeah.
I expect the same numbers as I expect the Patriots to run the ball first, similar to Carolina did. So I would expect the Jets to sort of rack up the same kind, roughly same kind of points in the same kind of positions. Obviously, apart from the big plays, you don't really know where they're going to come from, but I expect the same to sort of like follow suit because it's the same kind of game. I think Patriots will definitely run the ball into the ground kind of thing, and I think that should be enough for them to win that game.
Yeah, okay, so we're both on the Pats for that one.
Yeah, and like I said, there's some sneaky ones, sneaky players to pick up that you're definitely going to find majority of these on the waiver wire, so they're definitely good plays for week two after learning from what happened yesterday. So yeah, if we go straight over from that game, we'll go over to the Broncos versus the Jags. Great. I was really impressed by the Broncos. I thought they look a good side, settled side. As we mentioned last week, the Broncos really worked hard in preseason getting that team ready to go, and it did show for me. Von Miller had an absolute monster week one, two sacks, three solos, three tackles for a loss. So if he's around, pick him up. The Jags were dreadful, and I don't really, it was a bit of a surprise for quite a lot of people against the Texans. It was a bit of a shocker, really. And because of that, I see the Broncos easily winning that one. Rashawn Jenkins, He was one of my picks last week for the Jags secondary. Again, because we were going off the fact that the Jags would actually get in front and win the game, thinking that, you know, that Tyrod would have to come out and throw. He did come out and throw, but not because they were behind, because he was having a field day. But Rashawn Jenkins did stack up some points. Now, I wouldn't say he would be one of my picks for week two, because Teddy looked pretty steady in there. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Teddy didn't throw a pick, may not even get sacked. So yeah, if it all goes to plan, I think the Broncos win it quite easily.
Yeah, I mean, if there was anything of a silver lining for the Jags yesterday, I mean, I'd be looking at, if you can make a case for anyone, probably Josh Allen. At Edge had a decent game. Yeah, he got a sack. He had a fumble recovery, actually, which looked legit, actually, but it was unfortunately overturned. But yeah, he racked up 17.5 points. So outside of that, don't know.
I'd go off the basis of, you know, you've got to say what you see, really, from that point of view. And I just think the Broncos looked good. The Jags didn't. So if you look at it from that point of view, you expect the Broncos to go out and win the game. And if they were to get in front, again, as you know, our view is, you get in front and you're going to force the opposition to throw the ball. If Trevor Lawrence has to throw it, it brings in that secondary for the Broncos. Carl Fuller and Ronald Darby both scored well in week one, DBs, and they would be both on my radar for week two.
Okay. So yeah, Broncos all day for that one.
Yes.
Okay, who's next?
It is Bills versus the Dolphins. Very good win for the Dolphins. Tight game, and they played it well defensively, very well. The Bills, though, I must say, I think it was a battle of two decent performances from both defenses, like the Bills versus Steelers. Yeah, even though the Bills lost, they defensively played very well in my mind. The special teams won the week for the Steelers, really. That was the turning point of the game. But both defenses done really well. Good pressure from the Bills front. I thought the linebackers covered the field really well. They didn't give much away over the middle. They were all over Juju and Ebron and players like that. So they didn't really they sort of like suffocated the Steelers, but the Steelers done the same to the Bills. And that, you know, like I said, unfortunately for Buffalo, that special teams turnover then just swung the game, followed by a few sacks from TJ Watt, who we'll talk about in a bit. And that's where the game swung. So for me in this one, it's a tight game. I'm not too fond of these games when they are that tight and you don't know which way it's going to go. You're just going to have to go off what you think will happen. I mean, the Dolphins run defense, I didn't think it was that good against New England. I
thought it was piss poor in the opening.
Well, yeah, I was trying to be polite. But the Bills don't really have much of a run game. So, yeah, so that will play into the Dolphins' hands. And I feel that the Dolphins will win it, just because if Josh Allen does have to throw, he's throwing into that secondary, which again, come up with a big play last week. And it's like they just carried on from last year. And the Dolphins, yeah, I thought Eric Rowe had an outstanding game. He's one of these people that just slightly goes under the radar. He's not the sexy pick around that secondary. No. And you know what? He constantly racks up some numbers and done really well yesterday. So he's a player that I would start. Jerome Baker was
solid.
Very solid. Very solid. Very busy. Again, and that was mainly on that run game. The only thing is will Jerome Baker have that much of a day if the Bills can't run the ball properly? I don't know, but I'd still play him anyway. What else? Yeah, so the Dolphins secondary are all in play for me. Bills, yeah, play all the main players, because I think the Dolphins will also run the ball heavily by committee. So, but I've got the Dolphins to just win it. So, Brendan, talk to her.
Well, I mean, you've stolen my thunder. Jerome Baker sat there in the middle of the park and sort of, you know, really sort of, you know, just solid, dependable yesterday. A few others worth a mention. Ogba, who again, you know, I sort of tipped to have a decent season. You know, nothing spectacular, but he was solid. So, you know, if you got him, then he's worth a look. One of the outside tips, Jevon Holland, you know, he seems to be settling into that backfield role quite nicely. Didn't pull up any trees yesterday, but, you know, first game rookie, tough game at Foxborough. Please, you go to Foxborough and you don't get the rub of the green. I mean, Alandon Roberts absolutely stuffed Mac Jones for a 12-yard loss. and they called it too low. And you just go, well, that's the Belichick factor.
Oh, yeah, sure, that. You
know, we can't upset Bill, can we? I thought it was a fantastic tackle, but
you've got, Dolphins to win it.
But from a fantasy perspective, it's a little bit cagey. So, but yeah, if you've got sort of Miami DBs, then yeah, they'll be worth a look, I think. Okay, where to next?
Niners versus the Eagles.
We like Philly. Talking about this earlier, I was really, really, well, we both were really impressed, both sides of the ball. You know, Brandon Graham came off storming out the gates, massive hit, you know, one of the early plays, and they just kicked on from there, really. And it was, yeah, they were pulling Atlanta all over the place.
I've got, so going into this one and just diving into it player-wise, Nick Bosa had a bit of a day. But we've got to remember that the Niners played Detroit, and it's completely different. Goff hangs around in the pocket, and he did get it about a fair bit and pressured quite a few times, which led to the Niners players scoring some decent points. Fred Warner scored consistently. Dre Greenlaw scored well, but doesn't really paint the full picture with Dre Greenlaw. I still wouldn't pick him up for me. His tackles weren't really there. I don't even think he's... I'm not sure if he is the sort of like the second linebacker is what, you know, score points-wise. I'm not really sure, but if it wasn't for his big play, then he wouldn't have had the points. He wouldn't really be up. But defensively, I'm not sure on this game because I'm not sure if anyone is going to get a massive defensive score. It's difficult with the 49ers front are excellent. However, Hurts was excellent. He looks pretty elusive. So whether they can actually get to him or not, I'm not so sure. So I wouldn't be banking on sacks against anybody. If you could go elsewhere, then possibly do. Just on actually putting your money where your mouth is. It's difficult to call. But the Eagles, Singleton, Eric Wilson, they were steady. They were scorers. There's some decent DBs that scored well from the Eagles side of things. But again, it's an interesting one. The Niners will run the ball quite a bit. Well, they'll do all sorts, you know, like they usually do. So again, it's just a difficult one to nail down where the points are going to come.
Javon Hargrave had a monster day yesterday. I mean, what did he put up? 28 and a half points. Tackles all over the place, two sacks. Yeah, I mean, I reckon, would he go again? It's a, like you say, it's a different setup. You've got to look at, you know, I mean, the Falcons and the Niners are just two totally different propositions at the moment. But the Eagles just, yeah, real surprise package yesterday, just all round, as we've said. So, and it was nice to see. It's refreshing. So, right, but in terms of actually calling the game, I don't know. I think we're both leaning towards Philly. I mean, if we'd had this conversation a week ago, you'd have gone, nah, Niners, realistically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're Philly just at home, we reckon, yeah.
Okie doke. So we're going now. This one's one of my picks of the week from it. After watching the Rams-Bears game late last night, the Rams' defense is that they have just gone, they've gone off on one already. They're playing the Colts, and the Colts, Wentz got sacked three times against the Seahawks. Bobby Wagner racks up a shed load of points, 23 points he got in IDP Plus, and he made 13 tackles. So there's some serious points for the Rams to be had. The Rams D was exceptional as well. Now, it's really quite interesting because linebacker-wise, you got two guys. I mentioned Kenny Young earlier as one of those picks. He had five solo, five assisted, and a fumble recovery. Justin Hollins, six solos, two sacks, and a forced fumble. Now, these are great points from linebackers, and they've kind of come out of nowhere. We said about who the Rams linebackers were going to be, weren't quite sure who was going to actually lead, and there you go. So Justin Hollins, Kenny Young, they're two guys that you could be looking to pick up, and it could be a bloody big week for the Rams. It could be an Aaron Donald day as well. So sack-wise, he's in play. So for me, it's a Rams win. Big deep defensive points could be in store for them.
Difficult to make a case for the Colts. I mean, I suppose DeForest Buckner had a good game.
Yeah, but I expect, I mean, you've got to look at the fact that, I mean, defensive line of the Chicago Bears isn't bad at all. Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks, players like that. And they really struggled to get anywhere near Stafford. And Stafford had a game. Now, if he does that again, then the Colts might get to him. Now, I mean, DeForest Buckner is an awesome talent. So you just got to go off that. I mean, if you've got him, you've got to play him, haven't you, really? But it's not, again, it's one of those games where from the Rams side, Ooh, hello. Three sacks he got against the Seahawks. Now, I don't really rate the pass rush on the Seahawks. Not it's good and it's varied, but I don't think it's right at the top of the game. Not against the Rams. I think the Rams are they could be in for a big day.
So Rams all day long in that one then.
Yeah. So next one, Raiders versus Steelers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Steelers, I mean, Nate's already mentioned the Bills. I mean, they look comfortable. You know, going into the second quarter, they held, I think Steelers have been held to 4 punts. And then all of a sudden, there's a, you know, TJ Watt comes storming in with his guaranteed $80 million now. And, you know, strip sack, you know, recovery by, was it Cameron Hayward picked it up? And and that seemed to sort of kickstart them, really. And it definitely looked like we're starting to see the return of the steel curtain. I mean, TJ Watt looked worth every penny yesterday. You know, you can understand. The one for me, I mean, I was talking to you about this before. I mean, I'm looking at Cameron Hayward and I'm looking at the waiver wires. I know we've covered the, you know, the sort of five to pick earlier in the pod, but he's out there. Go get him. I know he's 32, but, you know, you get a season out of him. I mean, look at points yesterday. I mean, 27 points. You know, one sack, a couple of passes defended, forced fumble, that fumble recovery off the TJ Watt strip. Minka Fitzpatrick had a good day, racking up 16 points. You know, Devin Bush at linebacker, another 16 points, forced fumble. Cameron Sutton at corner. Again, I found him on the waiver wire. Yeah, 21.5 points. You know, yeah, 5 solo tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 2 passes defend. I mean, they it was almost like someone needed to light up, you know, set a bit of a fire under him. And TJ Watt did it, and they didn't. It was a close game. I did feel a little bit sorry for the Bills because you know, it did all come down to, as you said earlier, it's on another day they win the game. But
we haven't seen the Raiders yet, so we can't really. We're not really going to go into that. I mean,
Big Ben looked a bit creaky early on, but he seemed to settle, didn't he? So
yeah. So I got Steelers to win it though. You know. So right, we're on to the Bengals versus the Bears. So the Bengals obviously they won against an bang average Viking side for me. I wasn't very impressed by what we did offensively. So, you know, the Bengals, okay, they did rack up some points. They're defensive players. Yeah, Larry Ogunjobi, Von Bell, Logan Wilson, they all scored quite well. And that's not a surprise because they're playing the Vikings. For me, though, playing against the Bears is going to be a little bit more structured from the Bears than just sort of chucking it all over the place. And I just don't feel that the points are going to be, there's not going to be as many available to the defensive player from the Bengals for next week, for week two. But they're still there. So, I mean, the Von Bell, Logan Wilson, all those kind of players are going to be really consistent anyway. So you got to sort of like play them. Now, flipping it over to the Bears. Now, the Bears, obviously, we mentioned the Rams. The Rams look particularly good. Mm. Stafford was exceptional. I think it was the highest quarterback rating from a game one debut ever or something like that I read today. So he played exceptionally well, didn't really put a foot wrong. Now, Burrow got sacked 3 times. So the Bengals didn't look particularly good. There wasn't that much protection there. I feel that Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack are seriously in play this week. I think there's a few sacks coming, a few more sacks coming for Joe Burrow. So I would be looking at the defensive line of the Bears. Obviously, what's his name?
Roquan Smith.
Bloody linebacker. Every time I keep forgetting his name. Roquan Smith. Bloody hell. So you have Roquan Smith is steady Eddie on the tackle count. So he's always got to be started and he should do well against them. And also the secondary is going to be in play because if that pressure is on Joe Burrow, he will still be trying to air it out there. So there could be a pick or two out there for the Bears. So the Bears defense for this week, I think are really in play.
I think you can copy and paste all of that really. Although ironically, I'd probably take the Bengals to win the game, but that's you know, that's not. I think they've got. So it's So this is how, you know, cockeyed this could be sometimes. So we like the Bears defense all day long, but they're probably going to lose.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
But that's where your points are coming from, ladies and gents. So.
Right, there we go. So let's go on. Where am I now? Not still got a couple of 6 p.m. games, Sunday 6 p.m. games. Let's go Texans versus the Browns. Now, what's going on here?
The Texans are supposed to be all over the shop. They're all over Jacksonville.
Some news has just come out. Oh, Raheem Mostert is out for 8 weeks. Great. Nothing changes. Anyway, Texans versus the Browns. So now the Browns, we've got to go with, we know what happened on Sunday, and the Texans put a performance together, but the Jags were bloody awful. The Browns weren't bloody awful. They nearly won that game against the Chiefs. I felt they were in control 90% of the game, but they just didn't get away. You know what it's like. You can't leave it close with Patrick Mahomes. And he will get his chance, and he took it like usual. But the Browns played well defensively. They played really well. There was quite a lot of pressure on Patrick Mahomes. I felt that also the corners and safety, John Johnson, seemed to make a big difference. I was really impressed by his performance. He definitely cut off a lot of channels for Patrick Mahomes. And he struggled to find targets and points of the game where he usually always finds his man. And he definitely went through spells where I felt the Browns secondary had him. They had it sorted. However, it's going to be a very different game. But the Texans, it's still the same thing. I still think Ward, John Johnson are massively in play. There's going to be pressure on Tyrod, so expect some sacks. My pick is Myles Garrett to have a day. I expect that this is the day that Myles Garrett does well. Anthony Walker played very well as well. I've just got to mention him. I thought he played really well at linebacker. So yeah, I fancy all of the Browns defensive players could be really in the play. It could rack up some points.
I mean, can we make a case for? I mean, Christian Kirksey had a day yesterday. So yes. And the Browns will keep the ball on the deck. So he's going to have looks.
Exactly. Kirksey, Cunningham, those guys, get them in because, again, the run game will be there. The secondary done really well as well, Texans-wise. Yeah. You've got to mention them. Justin Reed, Hargreaves racked up some points. I know, again, it was a crazy old game. When we talk about teams getting in front, that's what happened. It was not what we predicted. It was the other way around. The Texans got in front. The Jags had to throw, and you know, there were some plays made by Justin Reed and Hargreaves, but you know, they got some big points. But they're good solid players anyway. Good solid secondary players, and I think they could score quite well this season all the way through it. So I'm going, but I am going definitely Browns 100%.
It's a Brown day.
It's a very Brown day. So right on to the final 6 p.m. kickoff. Saints versus Packers. Panthers. That says.
God, they're not stuffing them again this week, are they? Packers don't want to see the Saints again for a while.
We've been there, done that. Leave us alone. Right. So, okay. Do you want to cover off this one?
Well, I mean, what do we? I suppose. The Panthers. We sort of liked the Panthers coming into the season, didn't we? Mm. And yeah, okay, they beat the Jets. Jets were a little disappointing. And you look at, okay, the Panthers won the game. We didn't expect it to be a blowout. We said that last week. However, I mean, you look at the defensive stats against the Jets for the Panthers as a whole team. 6 sacks, 8 tip passes, 1 forced fumble and 1 pick from Shaq Thompson against a very transitional Jets team. And you think, and you're going against the Saints that have just, you know, dismantled and dismembered Green Bay.
Absolutely not setting the world alight.
No. So on the Panthers side of it, yes, we like this young defense. Chin's in play. You'd have to play him. He'll definitely be in the dropping into that secondary. I know there was talk of him stepping up to RB, and we covered that ourselves. But I didn't see any indication of that yesterday. He was deep all day long. I think looking for Wilson to air it out. So outside of that, I mean, you've got to. We're picking Saints defensive players all day, I think, aren't we?
Game is going to be any huge points coming from any particular place? Maybe, I don't know. What did you think of Sam Darnold? Did you feel like he knew what he was doing Did you feel like he was fully in control? I personally, areas of that game which looked like he was just like he was when he was in the Jets, where he just...
A little bit nervous.
Little bit lost. Yeah. And I thought, oh, you don't really want... I wouldn't do that against the Saints.
And then... but then,
not if I were, you know...
I think we'd all like to see, our New York fans, you know, I think the general consensus is we'd like to see Sam Darnold do well. And he showed glimpses. I mean, you know, he had that one out to Robbie Anderson, which had me jumping up and down because he's in one of my, you know, one of our home leagues. but yeah, so again, glimpses. Is he going to look, you know, any more comfortable against that New Orleans sort of defense? I don't know.
I'm quite looking forward to that. I think it's a good test for him to see exactly where he is. I mean, the Saints, though, Winston, you know, Jameis Winston, again, we're still... Look, it's a great game. He played really well against the Packers. Mind you, the Packers were out of the game, particularly very early. Rodgers looked completely out of sorts. I just felt that, the secondary at the Saints done really well on closing down players and generally not allowing like Davante Adams to really get too much space. In fact, they closed them down really quite well. So, you know, that and quite quickly the game was over for the Packers. So it wasn't the hardest game that Jameis Winston would have played, but he still had to play it and he did play it pretty well. Now, however, until we're getting into week 4 or 5 and he's still doing it, the jury will always still be out because of the previous that he does have. So you're still going to say secondary of the Panthers is still in play because there could be that, you know, there could be this pick coming, somebody like Jeremy Chin's way. So yeah, you know, you still got to do that. I think everybody should carry on doing that until you know that you're happy. They seem to have him on a bit of a leash mind. Murph mentioned it earlier in the podcast earlier, and he definitely, that was a good, he put that, it did feel like there was a leash that it felt like that somebody's in Winston's ear going, that'll do, son. Don't go too mad. But he did manage it well, so certainly not knocking him, but the jury will still be out. So yeah, okay, but I've got the Saints to win.
Yeah, definitely. Same for me.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. So we're on to the 9 p.m. kickoffs now. So next one, the first one up for me, it's got to be the easiest call of the week for me because it is.
Where you're going?
They were awful, the Falcons. They were really bad. Nice. Like we said, we were impressed by Philly, but the Falcons were really bad.
Didn't they ever make it easier? I mean, the one thing we've known for, I mean, the Falcons' main issue for which we've touched on previous pods is, you know, they're susceptible to the pass. So, you know, what did Hurts do? Well, he ran around, he kept the ball on the ground, moved them all over the place. And then when they'd had a gutsful of that, he starts airing it out and they just looked all out of sorts.
They looked awful, I think, in all things. Again, they did, but the Falcons, they can't run the ball, and they couldn't run the ball again. I mean, the pass rush done particularly well, but I think the run defense from the Philly was excellent. Again, they stifled them. They made them just make mistake after mistake, but the Falcons just... And after a game like that, the last place you want to go is the Bucks. And oh my gosh, start all Bucks defensive players. You got it. I mean, from the Falcons side, Oliukun and Deion Jones. Deion Jones racked some points up, which I expect him to do again because I expect the Bucks. But the only thing you've got to be careful of with the Bucks is what happened against Dallas. They did ditch the run game quite a bit. And do you know what they can do as well? They can do what they want. If they want to ditch the run game against the Falcons, they will win. If they don't want to ditch the run game, they will still win. So
it's a question of by how
sorry
much.
Falcons fans, but fucking hell, that was hard. It's hard to watch, and this is hard to talk about, that you'll go in there next.
Yeah. So
but yeah.
Well, that was
so we're all in on the Falcons win then, yeah?
Yeah. I'm gonna get on Skybet right now.
Right, quality. Right, let's go on to the next one. Let's go Titans Seahawks. Do you want to do this one, Brem?
Yeah, well, I mean, the D-line dominated yesterday against the Colts. The edge rushers had a field day. I mean, Green, Taylor, Bentamayo all had sacks. Kenny Hyder and sort of Carlos Dunlap looked, you know, right, they didn't score fantastically well, but what they did was, well, again, we talk about the Falcons making it easy for Philly. My God, Carson Wentz. I mean, you know, early on in the game, he showed some nifty footwork and you look at him and go, yeah, he's obviously fit, but he still wants half an hour in the pocket to make a, you know, to release. And it's just, you know, against the D-line like Seattle, they just ain't going to give you that time. So, yeah, I mean, Titans, I don't know. I mean, they looked, well, poor, really. I mean, what I liked about what the Seahawks did yesterday was they got in Wentz's face. And I think based on what we saw from the Titans yesterday, you know, Henry was shut down early in that game. And Tannehill looked, I think the Titans going forward offensively, they looked out of ideas quite early on. And if they show any of that to that Seahawks D-line, then they'll be all over it. So, yeah, I think I'm struggling to make a case for anyone on the Titans. I think, you know, all the D-line's in play again. So, you know, Rasheen Green, Darrell Taylor, Ben Tomioa. Yeah, I can see sort of more of the same from the Seahawks this week. I mean, can you make a case for anyone on the Titans side of things?
From the actual game itself, I thought Harold Landry played quite well. It's an interesting one. The Seahawks were very dominant in their game.
I mean, Jeffrey Simmons had a decent game, to be fair.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
So, and again, so you could make a, you know, you could argue that Seattle will run the ball with Carson and things like that. So I suppose you could make a case for the likes of Simmons possibly. I mean, you know, decent points yesterday. He did, you know, did get a sack, a few decent tackles in there. So, but outside of that, not too sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go on to the Titans because there's nobody there that really, yeah, and doesn't anybody that really impressed me and to really stands out at this moment in time. And against the Seahawks, when you talk about them, what are they going to do? They're going to run the ball into the ground, but they're also going to air it out. But I expect the Seahawks to be too strong for them. Yeah, so I've got a Seahawks win, but it could be a high scoring affair that could actually lend us some information to give us some real decent points. The Titans were bloody awful, mind. They just got, well, I say they were awful, that's a bit harsh. I thought Arizona were exceptionally good at stopping Derrick Henry, and that just at that point then they were really forced, and I don't know how fit those wide receivers really were.
Yeah, I mean they did a bit in a number on the new boy Julio, didn't they? Just shut him down early, and they became, and you're right, maybe we're being a bit harsh on Tennessee, but you know, they stopped Henry, they had Julio Jones covered, you know, six ways from Sunday, and they just made Tennessee play, you know, just look very one-dimensional because they just didn't give them options.
And obviously he got sacked so many times that, you know, you're going to just talk about the Seahawks in this one because you've got to go with what you know, and what you know was that the Titans were not good and he got sacked a hell of a lot of times. Tannehill, he had an awful week fantasy wise. So for me, yeah, it's all about the Seahawks. You've got to look at playing the pass rushers, got to be looking at playing Jamal Adams, who didn't score particularly well this week, but he's still done enough in the game to cause enough havoc, what I witnessed. Yeah, it's for me, the points are on the Seahawks side, but let's wait and see if we can get a few Titans players really making some plays to get them back in the game.
Yeah, I fancy Bobby Wagner to have another big day like he did yesterday as well. So
yeah, especially if they're going to be riding the Henry train while he'll be trying to stop that all game. So yeah, he'll be racking up the points, I expect. Yeah.
Okay. Seahawks all day. Okay. What we got? Two more of the later games left.
Yeah, what a big one that I've been looking forward to sort of like covering off, because it was big questions before the season started. So it's the Cowboys Chargers game I want to talk about, but it's mainly to do with
the linebacker rotation.
Yeah, the Cowboys linebackers. Wow, we got the information that we wanted from the game. So snap wise,
I didn't actually get the information I wanted, because at the moment I don't think anyone is taking Jalen Smith off my hands, because he's going to be third, arguably fourth choice linebacker based on what I'm reading.
Yeah, well, here's the snap count. So Micah Parsons, 51 snaps. Keanu Neal, 50 snaps. And then it went down to Jalen Smith, 15. Leighton Van Der Esch, 13. So they're now like situational sort of linebackers. So they're going to get brought on for special packages, really.
Yeah.
But the majority of normal setups, you're going to see Parsons and Neal on that pitch.
Yeah, I mean, they've got Parsons for the all-round work, haven't they? I mean, and Keanu Neal is there for the pass side of things, isn't he? So,
but it's really, from that point of view, I mean, there was a lot of Keanu Neal, a lot of shares of Keanu Neal still out there. I've seen him on waiver wires. But if people who are not listening to these kind of podcasts and not doing the research, Keanu Neal may be a little cheeky trade for quite a few people this week. Get in there early doors, because also don't forget Keanu Neal can play at DB. Now, depending on your league setup, if your scoring is if you're playing IDP plus, then it doesn't really matter, because your DBs will, if they play well, and they will score well. If they, you know, if they get pass defended, they will get rewarded for it. But if you are in a tackle heavy league and you've got to play a DB and you're not getting things like intercept, not getting many points for big plays, then you are looking at tackle counts. And if they are playing, which they completely are now, we all know they're playing him at linebacker, then you can sneakily put in Keanu Neal. I've got him playing in DB quite a few places. You know, he's taken up one of my DB slots as a linebacker. And he's not only a linebacker, he's one of the lead linebackers now. So there you go. A definite must add and start is Keanu Neal moving forward. Going into the game against the Chargers, an interesting one, because the Chargers were very good. I thought that was a great win.
Yeah, against a good defense.
I didn't have him down to. I know, obviously, it was marred slightly by the injury to Fitzmagic, and it definitely did slightly change it. Heinicke came in and played quite well, though.
Yeah, definitely.
But going forward for this game, I think it's going to be more of the kind of same from the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to still mix it right up. You know, Dak seems to be throwing like crazy. He's on a, you know, looking at breaking records for how many times they throw the ball. And it brings in your Derwin James. I mean, Derwin James looked good. The secondary of the Chargers look particularly good. And I think there's some chances there for some big points coming off the Chargers secondary. The Cowboys against the Chargers. Yeah, Herbert didn't look particularly good for me. He looked okay, not particularly good.
He was definitely involved in one of the weirdest plays I've ever seen, that hit from Montez Sweat. And I was like, I mean, it'd be a long time before we see that called as that sort of forced fumble again. But Jesus.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a strange old game, even though they played quite well. There was a few points in the game which, yeah, you probably won't see again. And, hopefully not from the Chargers' point of view.
No, I mean, I think one thing that was in evidence yesterday was, I mean, the likes of Joey Bosa were able to exploit those rookie Washington tackles and get through, because, you know, they did look a bit, well, like rookie tackles. Yeah. So
he got a sack and a forced fumble week one. So I mean, that's a great start from Joey Bosa. Some decent points. What have I got here? I've got Kenneth Murray racked up 16 points in IDP plus.
Yeah.
He looks solid. I think, yeah, they're both must starts. Yeah.
You and James did all right at DB. There's some value there.
I'm not sure on the secondary of Dallas. I think there's still some work to be done on that, because I think Donovan Wilson is well, for me, he's their best safety. And however, they seem to really mix it up between packages and who they had where. Is it Jason Kearse, another guy as well, where they the count was a real mix.
Yeah, well, Trevon Diggs got in the act, didn't he? So
Diggs at corner. I think Diggs at corner could have a bit of a season.
Well, he had a pick, didn't he?
He played really well, and yeah, you know, he might be one to consider, because you're gonna get people come out of nowhere, because we all know him, but we don't know him as a very consistent corner. However, that could change. I was really quite impressed by him. So okay, so that's it for those. So what have you got in this game? Because I think it's going to be a real good. This is one I would not bet on.
No,
if I was putting money on. Chargers look good. Cowboys look good.
I don't know.
Very good.
If you twisted my arm, I'd probably say the Cowboys. I know they're on the road, but Dak looked Dak. he looked like he hadn't been away. So, which is what we were hoping for, really, after such a, you know, an horrific injury. So I'm going to take a punt on Dallas in this one.
Yeah, same here. I'm going Dallas. I was quite impressed by Dallas. I know they lost to the Bucks, but God, it was close.
Right. Okay. So we've got the final late afternoon Sunday game. Well, we were talking about things not getting any easier for the Falcons. And I'm afraid we've got to look at your Vikings going to Arizona, mate. So
going to Arizona.
Well, I mean, I'm glad we've left this one till towards the end, because one of the things we had a really good chat about this a short while ago on one of the other pods when we were covering off the division, and we were quite, and yes, they are in a tough division, but we were quite enthusiastic about the Cardinals, but we kept coming back to this. If it clicks, if they can make it work, well, Jesus, didn't they have to make it work yesterday? I mean, where do you start? It was just insane. I mean, Chandler Jones, you know, Simmons, JJ Watt. I mean, it was just, I mean, Chandler Jones had 3 sacks before halftime.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy. I mean,
go on, tell everyone, what did he score?
He scored 62 points. Some odd points, yeah. In IDP Plus, which is crazy. And, you know, when people do this, especially week one, it's not great for the commish. The person that's put this scoring together to have a week one like that, that makes the questions, you question everything, trust me. But just to go through what he scored, so Chandler Jones scored 62 points. And the points breakdown is based on him having 6 solo tackles, 4 tackles for a loss, 5 sacks, includes 6 hits on QB, just only single points on that, and 2 forced fumbles. I mean, that's an incredible game. That's an incredible day. The 5 sacks, I mean, you don't score 5 sacks. I mean, that's in 10 games, that's 50 sacks. Nobody does that, you know, nowhere near it. So, I mean, it is an absolute freak of a game, to the level of, like, you could probably compare it if it was like Kamara when he went off against the Vikings last season, right at the end of the season, where he had a 55-point game or whatever. This is the same kind of thing from a linebacker. This is absolutely off the scale. The person closest to him was 25 points less than him. So, you just to talk about where the scoring is, and that was Shaq Thompson, who had a hell of a day as well. He had a hell of a day. And then I think he was like 9 points in front of the person below him. So usually the maximum is around the 30-point mark, which is very similar to the offensive players as well, you know, especially running backs and stuff like that. So yeah, that's the kind of thing. It was a freak. But what a freak, and what a performance. And you know what? Oh, God, he's playing bloody Kirk Cousins next week. I mean, God.
Check down Kirk.
I say it's a freak. It wouldn't surprise me if he gets a few more. It would not surprise me if he gets a few more. They were that pass rush was exceptional. Well, not only the pass rush, the run defense was, Derrick Henry couldn't get anything. JJ Watt was off the blocks.
Yeah.
He was extremely focused on stopping the big man, and they seemed to close it down really well. I loved it how the edge rushers suddenly become outside interior linemen very quickly. You know what I mean? They saw that ball come and they just compacted
I mean, Watt got to Henry early, and then on the odd occasion he broke through. Who steps in? Isaiah Simmons, you know, got to him, and I mean, stop. You know, he had a great stop on the goal line, I think.
I will talk about the kind of, I mean, I was all in on Chandler Jones. I spoke about him early on. So, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, blow me on about it, because, you know, he's had a one game, but he does look good. JJ Watt, the other side, you can see it. However, the one bit that we did get all wrong, Zaven Collins, the rookie who we thought was going to be the guy, he's certainly going to be involved, but he isn't the guy. Jordan Hicks was the highest snap count. Jordan Hicks was the guy. So the lead linebacker is Jordan Hicks and Isaiah Simmons. Yeah, so there's still some work to do on what they're actually going to fully look like week in, week out. And you're going to need to see a few games to that to guarantee the consistency, and not just say that was a weird week because Big Derek was playing. Because it does affect teams' defensive setups when Derek Henry is in town. Because he is a freak and you often have to double up on him. So it does slightly change. So I'm not too, I'm not going to look too much into the snap count on the linebackers at the moment. I know people keep banging it on Twitter, which is great. You've got to do it. But don't believe it. And it's Derrick Henry week one, and they bloody done a great job on him. So, you know, but it's not every week you're going to be playing that. You could be playing, I mean, you know, when you look at what they're going to be doing this week, Dalvin Cook is a very different prospect, you know, so you don't want to be too tight against somebody like Dalvin Cook, because because, you know, he can jet the other way, and he can be all over the place. So you're not going to have that tight front like they did. They won't set up exactly the same way. However, it was still very impressive, the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, and I was flicking through the waiver wire again earlier today, and Byron Murphy, you know, yep. had a good... Yeah, you know, decent game.
Mate, you can't go much wrong on that secondary. When you're getting as much pressure that they're going to put on quarterbacks, especially you've got Kirk Cousins coming up this week. I would not be doing my job if I didn't say that all defensive players, again, that are going to be... So have a look at the snap count. Like I said, the ones that are definitely going to be on the pitch. But the guys that are going to be on there are seriously in play for big plays, because if they get pressure on Kirk throws some right old wobblers. As a Minnesota fan, I know he does. And it's just like, you know, he's not the best. He does that, runs out the pocket. People like Isaiah Simmons and that are going to be all over him, I would think. I don't think it's going to be a great week for that side of the game. However, I think we might win this game. I do think this. I'm more confident with winning this game than I was actually against Burrow week one, because I don't think offensively, I don't think Arizona are all that. I mean, they had a good week against the Titans, but the Titans couldn't do anything against them. I think the Vikings will be able to do stuff against them. I think the Vikings will be able to do stuff against everybody, because I think they've got Thielen, Jefferson, all these kind of players, and Dalvin Cook, players that can really make a difference. When I'm not sure what the Titans had. I think they had two banged up wide receivers. They still done okay, but yeah, without the run game, they really completely lost identity. I felt the Titans were quite awful and you know, disappeared out of the game pretty quickly. So it won't be like that.
So you're taking the Vikings then?
I'm going to go Vikings. Yeah, I'm going to go Vikings in this one. And you know what I'm like. I often don't do this. So yeah, I fancy us to bounce back.
You heard it here first.
What about you?
home field. I'm gonna go with Arizona. Yeah. So I think, like you said, I mean, later on in the game, the Titans had given up. Kyler Murray was allowed to do what he wanted, really. Yeah, you know, run around, sling it around, trick play. So yeah, but yeah, I think the Cardinals are home. So that's
so. Who we got? Chiefs Ravens is the late game.
Yeah.
Go on then, far away with this one. We only know nothing about the Ravens yet, because we haven't seen them play. They're playing tonight because it's Monday.
So we kind of have to swerve the. I mean, as you say, the Chiefs, they won, but on another day. Yeah, who knows? I mean, like you say, Cleveland could have had that game, but not everyone has a Patrick Mahomes. So it's one of those we think. So, I mean, just looking at the defensive side of it, well, I mean, Chris Jones had a day, didn't he? Yeah, 24 and a half points. Yeah, two sacks.
My boy Nick Bolton, he got in the mix. He's good for more against the Ravens. Put him in.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a difficult one to call, because we haven't seen the Ravens play. I mean, we would expect them to come out. Mind you, I mean, they're banged up at the moment, the Ravens. Yeah. You know, they've got problems that I mean, a couple of days ago they're bringing in Latavius Murray to cover at running back. They lost another running back and a cornerback, having already lost sort of J.K. Dobbins. So is that going to put? I mean, would you expect Jackson to come out and, you know, run it consistently, or are they going to have to go to the air? I mean, I don't know.
I think it's all Lamar would just run the ball more. Personally, I just think he kind of.
You can make a case for. I mean, pretty much all of that Kansas defense could be in play then. So, you know, if Jackson's going to run the ball.
It's a tough one against the Chiefs, though, isn't it? It's an interesting game. I think the Ravens are one of those teams that do change the way they play when they played the Chiefs in the past. They've always
going to have to with the number of injuries they've got.
Yeah, and that's it. It's a bit of a nightmare. It's a nightmare matchup for them, really. It'd be interesting to see how they get on tonight against the Raiders, and then, you know, we can kind of understand a little bit. However, they will change their game against the Chiefs. They always do, and not usually for the best. Sometimes in the past, I've always thought to myself, if Ravens just stick to what they do, they would have won, and they would have got.
I think the problem is, as you touched on before, I mean, you can be a very good team, but you're in danger of overthinking it, because you think, shit, if we don't have, you know, a good two-score lead getting towards the end of this game, we know what's going to happen. Mahomes is going to do exactly what he did yesterday, and some of those sort of sidearm passes. And that was, as you said, rightly so. You know, but the Browns, really, you know, good coverage, good, you know, good pass rush, putting pressure on him, but he still does it. It's just...
But it brings all the normal players back into play, because again, and with Patrick Mahomes, he done it last night as well, where he doesn't seem to care who's covering who. You know what I mean? He's still going to go to Tyreek Hill. He's still going to go to Travis Kelce. He's still going to throw to those players. So you know that the people that are going to be marking him are the best defensive players that the Ravens have got. So you expect, you know, Patrick Queen will be in play. Marlon Humphrey will definitely be in play, because he's going to be where they need him to be. So, and he's going to be he's still going to be targeted by Patrick Mahomes. So the tackle count's going to be there. Whether there's any picks for either of these teams, don't really know. Sack wise, very difficult to sack. Maybe a sack or two from the Ravens, because Patrick does hold the ball now and again. Sometimes he doesn't seem to mind a sack now and again. It doesn't faze him. He loses a bit of yardage, and then next play throws a 70-yard bomb down the field, and you go, oh, that worked well. But anyway, yeah, so that's it. Not really going to go over.
No, no.
So what's the final game to
read? The Monday night game is...
We'll be recording again before this one goes out. However, it's funny to talk about it because it's an absolute shit show from week one, isn't it, really? I mean, the Lions actually looked all right, I suppose.
Yeah, but yeah, fits and starts.
It's just quite funny. I just think... we are... You said it earlier. The Vikings are top of the NFC North.
Yeah. Yeah, storming it.
Because everyone lost.
Absolutely flying.
I mean, brilliant. Come on, the North. What an absolute... I'm kind of looking forward to seeing this game, because it's going to actually give us some idea of where these teams actually are. Because I don't think from the Lions I thought they were better than we expected on Sunday. However, they still weren't really in the game. San Francisco mucked around with things as well. They weren't settled. I mean, we saw Trey Lance come in early doors, and then Jimmy G was back in the game. Yep. Jimmy G actually threw quite well, but Mostert got injured. You know what I mean? It could have been, for me, it still could have been that San Francisco, if that was week three or four, and San Francisco was settled and they didn't have the injury to running back, things like that, and it was a bit more settled, I think that would have been game over early doors. Lions would have been out of the picture quite early.
Yeah,
on.
I mean, I'm struggling to make a case for it. I mean, the Packers just will not be that bad again this week.
They can't. Which means it could be the Saints, though. It could be the fact that, you know, that if the Saints do it again this week, then we're going to have to start really talking up the Saints D, because...
Yeah, it's a weird one. They were one of those teams, I looked at it, when there was all the talk about who's going to be under centre, and there just seemed to be an air of sort of a lot of indecision at New Orleans, and then you have he's throwing the external factors, the hurricane, the disruption. You think, you know, this season could go, you know, they could go on and sort of play well, but they could be a real car crash of a team this year. So you just didn't know, but not based on yesterday's showing.
This is it though with the Saints. I mean, I'm quick to jump on them as well, as in like, because I don't like the way they go about stuff. It's just a thing for me. And I think that's a lot with a lot of other people as well, where they, you know, you don't, that we've said about their aging team and some of their core players and some of the decisions that they make. However, they're still the Saints. They're still going to be in your face. They're still going to be a bloody nasty defense. They're still the O-line shit hot. You know, you look at it and you go, your Saints are still the Saints. So just be careful about putting them down or saying that they're not going to do well, because they probably will. And they looked good. And I wouldn't be surprised if they are actually there or thereabouts this year. But there we go. After watching week one, I went, oh, here we go. Nothing's changed. There we are.
Yeah, so, I mean, looking at, you know, some of the defensive players for Detroit yesterday, and like you say, they were, again, they're one of those teams I thought, God, you know, this could be awful. You know, with sort of Goff, who, you know, I still feel that, you know, was a mediocre quarterback in a good team, and now sort of a mediocre quarterback going to what I viewed as a mediocre team. But you're right, they weren't that bad. I mean, Swift ripped off some, I mean, he tore a hole in the Niners, you know, on at least one occasion. Jamie Collins sort of linebacker, had a decent Trey Flowers, you know, managed to punch the ball out. But
he's like offensively, I think Swift is a must start this week. Packers still struggle on the run game. I think Kamara done quite well against them again. I think Swift is an absolute nailed on start for this week going forward.
I mean, the only other one I'd look at and looking at who they're going up against, and you know, Rodgers is going to throw the ball. We all know that, you know, it is in the backfield for the Lions, because I mean, you know, Tracy Walker had an excellent game, you know, managed to sack, you know, stuck in a lot of tackles. So I think if that's about the only value I can really justify.
And DBs wise as well, I mean, the Lions, again, you've still got to say, like, Za'Darius Smith and players like that, I mean, he didn't look fit, but you still got to say that there's going to be the odd sack in there, or that's in play. However, DBs as well, Packers also, Adrian Amos played well, because the Packers actually defensively were actually points wise were actually not too bad. Chris Barnes was interesting at linebacker, somebody that I'm really quite high on. He seemed to do all right. He's kind of arrow up. I would say Chris Barnes is a sneaky little pickup at the moment for people. I expect him to actually rack up some numbers this week. But we're gonna have to wait and see on these two teams, because they both had not great start, and the games got away from both sides at points of the game, you know. So there's not a consistent, well, it could be for the Lions because they could be behind every bloody week, but I don't know. I think, you know, consistently when you're predicting and when you're saying who you think to do well, both of these teams had had quite big defeats. So it's difficult to summarize, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, just purely on paper, I mean, you'd pick Green Bay, wouldn't you? Home field. So, but yeah, okay. Well, be interesting to see how that Monday night game goes. So that's week two.
That's the week two roundup, yeah. So we're just going to touch on just quickly on the IDP Plus leagues. It's been a great, it's been a really good start. I think everyone seems to be enjoying it and seeing the scoring, and the games seem reasonably tight as well at this point in time. There is some decent scorers, some big scorers. I've done all right in the Ray Lewis League, so I'm one of the top scorers going to be in that division.
How do I know you're going to start there? Why can't we start with the Lawrence Taylor League?
Forward, I'm going to ignore that one at the moment. So, Mason's also got a decent score in that. So is Tom Chick, he's up. He's going to score quite highly. That's about it everywhere. But there's some quite close matches in that one. So that one's quite good. So I'll flip it over to the Lawrence Taylor League. And me versus Bren, week one. Bren's got it in the bag.
So you've got
to finish.
You've got 2%.
I've got 2%. Yeah. 1% now. Thanks, Sleeper.
Have you got left? If I got left, I got Josh Jacobs left to go. So
just to go completely off, got nothing to do with IDP or anything. But oh my god, what the hell was going on with Sleeper last night halfway through? I try not to look at my points and stuff. But there was one point of the night, I don't know what time it was, when it all went doolally, absolutely crazy. Like they kept changing, the scores kept going up and down, and the percentage bar was just going from right to left all over the place. It was
no, I missed that because I was sitting here diligently sort of making notes like the good little co-host I am.
Fair play to you. That's it. That's commitment for you. So in the Lawrence Taylor League, Bren, you scored well, but Mike Sowell's done really well. He scored highly, so he's going to look like he's going to win his game. Dan H has had a bit of a blinder.
Yeah,
he did have Chandler Jones,
280 points.
Yeah, Rich Cooling's done well as well for first game. There you go. Not just a dynasty boy. He knows what he's doing IDP well. Yeah, he's doing well. Yeah, so he's going to win his game as well. But yeah, it's a good start to the IDP leagues in that one. The other leagues, yeah, they're pretty much the same. Everyone, some real tight scores and some good scores. But yeah, I'm afraid if you had Chandler Jones this week, IDP wise, you've had an absolute blinder. So yeah, but guys, thank you very much for tuning in. We've had some great numbers and some great feedback coming from Murph and the guys. So it's been great. The whole five yard rush team are working their ass off getting as much content out as possible. And we thank everybody for their continued support through all of this. And we will see you again. Enjoy week two, and we will see you again for week three. Over and out.
HIV is still an issue in Montgomery County. The more open we're able to talk about HIV, we treat it like any other health prevention.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. People who are not HIV positive, who may be at high risk for contracting the disease, this is a good choice for you.
It's just a way for you to sort of take control and say, I'm going to do this to protect myself. Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about PrEP, the HIV prevention medication. Visit doitforumc.org.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.